ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 2, text 11. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Ashochan Anvashochaha Tvam Pragya Vadan Cha Bhashase Gata Asun Agata Asun Cha Na Anushochanti Panditaha. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Ashochan Anvashochastvam Prajna Vadang Shabhashase Gatasun Agatasunscha Nanu Shochanti Panditaha. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Ashochan Anvashochastvam Prajna Vadanscha Bhashase Gatasunagatasunscha Nanu Shochanti Panditaha. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, while speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor for the dead. Purport. The Lord at once took the position of the teacher and chastised the student, calling him indirectly a fool. The Lord said, you are talking like a learned man, but you do not know that one who is learned, one who knows what is body and what is soul, does not lament for any stage of the body, neither in the living nor in the dead condition. As explained in later chapters, it will be clear that knowledge means to know matter and spirit and the controller of both. Arjuna argued that religious principles should be given more importance than politics or sociology, but he did not know that knowledge of matter, soul, and the supreme is even more important than religious formularies. And because he was lacking in that knowledge, he should not have posed himself as a very learned man. As he did not happen to be a very learned man, he was consequently lamenting for something which was unworthy of lamentation. The body is born and is destined to be vanquished today or tomorrow. Therefore, the body is not as important as the soul. One who knows this is actually learned, and for him there is no cause for lamentation, regardless of the condition of the material body. It's well known that Bhagavad Gita is a philosophical treatise. It's also well known that Krishna spoke to Arjuna. What's particularly important, or the crux of the whole matter, is Krishna and Arjuna, they're relating together, the whole of the Bhagavad Gita. comes to the point which is made more explicit in Srimad Bhagavatam, and even more so in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. The essence of all philosophical understanding is to understand that we are living beings, eternal living beings. This point Krishna is making here, you're lamenting for the body which is material and temporary, so we're all eternal spiritual living beings. And we all have our eternal relationship with Krishna as servant to master. So what's going on is not just philosophical teaching. But Krishna, in every verse that he speaks, he's speaking specifically to Arjuna, what Arjuna needs to hear. It's going on within the situation of Krishna being the very dear friend of Arjuna, and Arjuna being the very dear friend of Krishna. Here Krishna chastises Arjuna, giving him a hard time. Klaibyang masmagamapata. He's already called him you're just like a eunuch. That's the worst insult you could give to a kshatriya. Actually, Arjuna was a eunuch pretending to be for 1 year. An arya. You're just talking like an uncivilized person. Krishna's really giving him some verbal slaps here. Now he's saying, yeah, you're talking, yeah. Big philosophy. Yeah, you're talking, yes. Well, you don't have a clue what you're talking about, you damn fool. It's to paraphrase what Krishna is saying to Arjuna. Krishna said it to Arjuna, and Arjuna took it, but he stood up for himself also. He also got back at Krishna sometime that you're speaking equivocal words. I don't understand what you're saying. And Krishna, oh, yeah, I don't understand what I'm saying. Okay, I'll explain it again. So Arjuna was a submissive. He took the position of a submissive student, but not he was not simply a formal student. He engaged with Krishna. He listened to what Krishna said. But we hear that sometimes Arjuna, especially in the first few chapters, he doesn't really hear all of what Krishna says. He interprets it through his preconception. So it takes quite some time for Krishna to get the point across. Arjuna is thinking, as Srila Prabhupada said here, that dharma is more important than politics and sociology. By sociology, I understand Srila Prabhupada means here societal matter or social being respected in society. So from Arjuna's point, he only saw there's dharma and there's material societal considerations. But Krishna, so he was saying, you see, it's clear that I'm speaking on the matter of dharma and it's a higher stage. But Krishna said that, all right, so dharma is a higher stage, but there's something higher than that also, beyond the dharma related with the body. So Krishna is giving Arjuna good chastisement. As Srila Prabhupada often pointed out when he was discussing this verse, I'll read from one quotation from one of Srila Prabhupada's lectures. Arjuna, this is Krishna, Srila Prabhupada paraphrasing Krishna. Arjuna, you are talking like a learned man, but you are a fool number one. Gatasun agatasun cha nanu shochanti panditaha. That means, if you had actually been a pandit, a learned man, then you would not have lamented for this body. Gatasun. But the modern civilization, they are giving all value to this body. All their philanthropic work, hospitalization, and there's so many things. In the Bhagavad Gita, we don't find anywhere a single line that you raise funds for giving relief to the poor or to the suffering. Is there any instruction in Bhagavad Gita? You have read. Can you find out? But these people, they've become more learned than Krishna. So, Srila Prabhupada extends Krishna's chastisement of Arjuna to the whole modern civilization. And points out that Arjuna is speaking that Arjuna, by giving his opinion to Krishna, is presenting himself as more learned than Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada extends that to the whole human society, that we are raising funds for helping the poor and the suffering, doing philanthropic work, hospitals. And Srila Prabhupada is pointing out that although this seems very good, isn't it good? How can you say it's not good? Arjuna, let's not fight. Isn't it good? It's very good. Krishna, no, rascal. So, hospitals, helping the poor, it's good. Obviously it's good. No, Srila Prabhupada pointing out on behalf of Krishna. That's misleading. It's on the platform of the body. So this chastisement to point out that people think they are doing the right thing and they're completely convinced about it, but they're doing the wrong thing. And what they think is good for them and for others, they think I'm being very good. Arjuna thought, I'm being very good. People are building hospitals and schools, think we're very good. And others also praise them, you're very good. And Prabhupada said, you're not good. You're offensive to Krishna. You think that you're more learned than Krishna. You think you have a better idea than Krishna. You're only helping the body, which is not really any help at all. The example is there of cleaning and polishing the cage while the bird inside starves. So in the same way, looking after the body without caring for the needs of the soul, giving more importance to the body, is foolishness. Sometimes it may be said that, well, actually we're caring for the needs of the soul, but people don't understand that, so we'll give importance to the body and then they'll praise us, and then when they praise us, then they'll accept our message, which is that we're caring for the soul. But to get them to praise us, we have to give the message that we're caring for the body. So it's not, then our message changes. Then we also become more learned than Krishna, so-called. Srila Prabhupada, he took the position, just like Krishna took the position of a guru. Srila Prabhupada, he took the position of a guru. He took that traditional role of a guru, in which one of the important points is to chastise. As Srila Prabhupada, he several times quoted that his own guru, he was often chastising his disciples. He said, when our spiritual master used to chastise, we took it as a blessing. That was very nice, and he would chastise like anything. Damn rascal, foolish, stupid, anything. All good words. One day it so happened, Prabhupada was speaking. Here Srila Prabhupada by saying, Prabhupada is referring to his own Guru Pada Padma, the lotus feet of his own guru. So I was very much fond of hearing. That gentleman, he was a retired doctor, so he wanted to speak something. In other words, Srila Prabhupada and this elderly man, They were sitting in the assembly listening to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And this elderly man sitting next to Abhay Charan Aravinda Das, Adhikari at the time, wanted to speak something to him. So he should not have done so, but just like, so naturally I also, Prabhupada doesn't fully explain there, but you get the idea. Prabhupada, he started to listen to him, and Prabhupada saw it and he became so angry. He knew that my attention was drawn by him. He chastised him like anything. He was an old man, actually almost like his age. So the point is that generally you don't chastise old men. So he was paying 60 rupees in those days per month. He was giving 60 rupees a month to the Gauriya Math, which was really a lot of money. Can hardly imagine. The rupees must have been made of silver. So he became so angry. Do you think that because you pay 60 rupees you have purchased us? You can do anything and anything? He said like that, very strong word he used. Do you think that I'm speaking for others? You have learned everything. You are diverting your attention. So in many ways he was very, very angry. So this is nice to chastise. From other discussions of this by Srila Prabhupada, when he's saying it's nice to chastise, he means from the standpoint of he who is chastised. Someone may think, yeah, oh, Prabhupada says it's nice to chastise. Okay, let's go and chastise everyone. That'll be nice. But he gave the idea that it's very nice to be chastised. And Jyoti Shekhar Prabhu, who I heard many times when I was collecting information, if you want to call it, about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he used to say that the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they said that two things were very nice. One is Prabhupada dal, that means his food remnants, dal and everything else. And Prabhupada gal, gal means gully, insults, chastisement. Another quote here, our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada said, so strict, a little discrepancy he would chastise like anything, but we liked it very much. Srila Prabhupada also chastised small mistakes, big mistakes, any mistake, even no apparent mistake. This Guru Kripa, who was a sannyasi, his disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he came to Srila Prabhupada once in Bombay and gave him a check for $100,000, which was really a lot of money in those days. You can't even compare with the present situation, because India was so poor in those days. And Srila Prabhupada needed the money, or apparently he needed, for building temples. And Guru Kripa had promised, I'll bring you the money. So he did, by hook or by crook. Mostly by crook. Well, not only by crook. So he brought in the check, gave it to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada hardly looked at it. A few minutes later, he saw Guru Kripa, he'd put on a chadar, which is a bright orange color, and Prabhupada yelled at him, why are you wearing that? Wrong. Don't ever let me see you wear that color again. You know, this check for $100,000 was the result of very dedicated, difficult service for months and months and months by a whole team of devotees. Prabhupada hardly looked at it. And then a small thing, wearing the wrong color, chastised him like anything. Another time, Guru Kripa said, in the middle of the night, about 1:30 in the morning, Srila Prabhupada woke his servant and said, bring Kuru Kripa. So the servant went and found him. He was asleep, naturally. He came in and offered obeisance to Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada said to him, what are you doing? He said, well, I was sleeping, Prabhupada. Why are you sleeping? He said, well, I'm tired, and I'm not sleeping. Why aren't you up doing service like me? He said, well, you're a pure devotee, Prabhupada. Why aren't you a pure devotee? No room to escape. So that's the chastisement. Everyone's expected to be a pure devotee. That's the standard for the pure devotees. Why aren't we pure devotees? We can make this excuse and that excuse, but the actual answer is that we are Krishna Bahimukh, Krishna Bhuli Sejivanadi Bahimukh. We're not, or we are, inimical to Krishna. There's a great fault in all of us, and all the little faults, they're all indicative of that underlying great fault. So spiritual masters are very kind, but Srila Prabhupada would, even if you're doing everything right, little complacency, now I'm doing everything right, okay, chastise. You know, if you're not, things, if they're not done properly with proper conscientiousness, anything, bhaja, Hare Krishna, Prabhupada would stop, don't sing. Don't add to the Maha Mantra. Don't add something. Don't invent. Bolo Hare Krishna. The devotee was singing, actually it was Jaipataka Swami, he was singing once in the kirtan. Bolo Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I said, what are you? You're adding something. You can't add something. Bolo is just calling out to everyone to chant. Prabhupada chastised. Sometimes very strongly. Srila Prabhupada chastised his disciples, even non-devotees, even big people of this world. At Wardha in Madhya Pradesh, there was a Gita Sammelan, something like this, and all big figures there, Swamis, and I believe Jayaprakash Narayan was there, who was the big man in India at the time. He was a famous follower of Gandhi, and he had openly challenged Indira Gandhi, who was national. Prabhupada just blasted them on and on and on and on. That you're talking about the Gita. Why aren't you teaching the Gita as it is? Srila Prabhupada's chastisement, or the chastisement of any real sadhu, is meant for waking up the disciple or others to their proper consciousness. Tato du sanga utsricha satsu sajeta buddhiman santa evasya chindanti manovya sangam uktibihi. Krishna advises, if we've seen the nature of this world, that it's simply miserable, then give up all bad association and associate with sadhus, if one's actually intelligent. And the sadhus, they will... We may have seen that the world is miserable, even in the heavenly planets, but still, we have so many attachments in our mind, and the sadhus, by their words, will cut that. The Srila Prabhupada took his role as a guru very seriously in cutting the attachments. How does that verse compare? That's a description of a sadhu that he cuts by his words. There's also another famous description of a sadhu, titikshava karunikaha suhridam sarvadehina. Suhridam Sarvadehinam, the same as Krishna, Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. Ajata Shatrava Shanta, Sadhava Sadhubhushanaha. A devotee is very tolerant, very compassionate, best friend of all embodied beings. His enemy is not born, or rather he doesn't do anything that anyone should become his enemy. He's decorated with all saintly qualities. So that might seem to be the opposite of chindanti manovya sangamukti bihi, cutting the attachments of the mind by his harsh words. Well, it's presumed that the words will be harsh to do that cutting. Sharp speech. Or sometimes it's said blunt words. So that sharp and blunt are the opposite, but they both hurt. If there's a sharp knife, it hurts. If there's a blunt hammer, it also hurts. So we may think, hearing that description, oh, sadhu, means someone like that, someone with a, should have a long beard and flowing robes and be very gentle. This is the stereotype. Just like this Sri Sri, I think he's just studied the stereotype of what it should be to be a sentimental cheating guru. And he's doing it very expertly and cheating. Srila Prabhupada wasn't like that. He was, can be very strong. Could be very strong, no doubt. Shruta Kirti Prabhu, who is his personal servant for quite some time, he said about Srila Prabhupada that Srila Prabhupada, he would shout at us. And when you shouted, you just felt like all your life airs had all been unsettled. I can't remember exactly what he said. It was something fearful, something to be feared. Srila Prabhupada, very strong chastisement, shouting. It's very, very tough to tolerate. But he said that now, he said this after Srila Prabhupada had passed away. Now, he desired that whatever else there is in the world, I'd rather be being shouted at by Prabhupada, have that opportunity again. Because ultimately it's very sweet. Why is that? That Srila Prabhupada explained to one disciple of his in a letter who Srila Prabhupada had been giving a lot of chastisement to. I mean, he really messed things up by not following some important instruction of Srila Prabhupada. He made a serious setback for our movement. And then again I saw there's a whole series of letters to him. Don't sell records, sell books. And you find it, you know, March, then again in April, the same thing. And month after month, Prabhupada keeps on giving the same instruction. And the last one I saw like that, the last date I saw for that, well, when I joined, he was the GBC where I joined, and they were selling records and not books, despite Prabhupada's repeated records of him singing. All the brahmacharis were sold, sent out, and the first Sankirtan meeting I went to, all the brahmacharis saying, oh, we don't want to sell records, we want to sell books. And then one brahmachari got up and said, no, the people in England, they're too demoniac, they can't take books. So then he supported that, so we had to go on selling records. Anyway, Prabhupada was chastising him, and he wasn't taking it. He had a better idea. So anyway, Srila Prabhupada wrote to him, when I point out some discrepancy of my disciples, it is always with goodwill, so that you can become the best servant of Krishna. There is nothing of material grudge. Kindly remember this. So it seems that the devotee was thinking, no, Prabhupada doesn't like me, he's got something against me. It's strange that the guru should have to tell him that actually nothing personal, I'm doing this for your benefit. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada would quote from Chanakya, Lalane bahavo doshas, tarane bahavo gunaha, tasmat putrang cha shishyang cha tarayan natu lalayat, lalayet. Patting or fondling or treating affectionately, you could say. There are many faults in doing so. And there are many qualities in punishing. Therefore, one's son and one's disciple should be punished. Actually, the word means beaten, not patted, not fondled. I don't know if in your Tamil culture or your Montenegrin culture or whatever, if you have this idea of a spoiled child, you have that mother's pet, the one who they never say anything wrong to, they never chastise, and they just grow up being very egoistic because they're never corrected. They're just whatever the mother becomes like the servant of the child, always, oh, very sweet, you're very nice, very good. But the child, because what we call a spoiled brat in English. Srila Prabhupada, he was kind enough to follow in the footsteps of his spiritual master. But he had to explain all of these things to his disciples because they didn't know this culture at all. They had some idea of some holy man coming from India or from Tibet or something like this and having a dreamy smile on his face and saying things which no one can understand, and they're not very serious to understand anything anyway. So Prabhupada had to explain this. In one letter he wrote to a disciple, a sincere disciple feels it pleasurable when his spiritual master chastises him with calling him such names as fool and rascal. My spiritual master sometimes calls me in that way, Prabhupada said. And I remember that day always and feel transcendental pleasure. So I presume that's the same incident where Srila Prabhupada described, where the doctor was speaking to him in an assembly like this. The doctor got the most chastisement, but Prabhupada also. So we should be very careful. Srila Prabhupada described, every disciple must consider himself completely unaware of the science of Krishna. I must always be ready to carry out the orders of the spiritual master to become competent in Krishna consciousness. A disciple should always remain a fool before his spiritual master. What is the import of this? If we think that we're completely unaware of the science of Krishna, then how can we try to say anything to others or preach? Well, although we may say I'm going for preaching, but actually we should think that I can't preach. I can be an instrument of the acharyas, of Srila Prabhupada, all the acharyas. I can be an instrument. According to their desire, I can say something. which may act on the heart of others. But if we think, I am a Vaishnava. When I first became a devotee, sometimes we hear devotees say this. I don't know. I wouldn't say that. Still trying to be a devotee. To be a devotee is not a small thing. Yeah, I'm a devotee. I get up and put tilak on every day and put my hand in my bead bag and mumble a few things and I'm a devotee. But to actually be a devotee, to be a Vaishnava, that's a very high platform. Amito Vaishnav e buddhi hoile amani na hobovani. Patishtasha ashiya vidoi dushibe hoibo niroi gami. But you know, Thakur taught us, saying that if we think, I am a Vaishnava, then I'll be proud. And the desire for recognition will enter my heart. And then I won't go to the spiritual world. The spiritual world, Vaishnava goes to the spiritual world. He said, I'll go to hell. By thinking I am a Vaishnava, I will go to hell. So we can think I am accepted by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Although I am unworthy, I am accepted among their servants. But to think I am a devotee is a... Everything is fine. I'm doing great. I'm doing well. Everything is good in modern Western culture. You're supposed to say to people, how are you? Oh, I'm fine. No, not only modern Western, even in Indian culture, Bengali culture. Kemon achish. Bhalo chalchi. How are you? I'm going on okay. I'm going on well. You're supposed to. That's the expected reply. Yes. Nice. Everything well. But a devotee, he can think, Amar jivan sada pape rata nahika punya relish. My life is simply full of sinfulness. There's not even a trace, not even a microscopic trace of anything good or pious in that. A devotee should think like that. Even if he's recognized by others, even if he, from the external point of view, is doing very well. Srila Prabhupada said, a disciple should always be ready to be chastised. He should not think that he has become perfect. That is perfection. If one doesn't think he is perfect, then that is perfection. As Srila Prabhupada goes on to explain, so long as he thinks that he is not perfect, that he is to be chastised, then he is perfect. And as soon as he thinks that he has become perfect, he is nonsense immediately. Nonsense number one. I remember many years ago, I was stationed in Bangladesh. This must have been in the 1980s. We didn't get much news from the big ISKCON outside. Those were the days before all this internet and even the phones that hardly worked. So time to time we get something in the post, some news, this, that. So there was some newsletter that we were being sent called Gurudev Amrita about one of the leaders in our movement who is known as Gurudev. So in that he wrote that, or he was quoted as saying that, now I'm completely beyond any desire for sense gratification. I thought, oh, he's in trouble. He was. He is. soon as we think, I'm perfect, we're in trouble. Everyone in the material world thinks they're perfect. Well, especially in Rajaguna, possibly in Sattvaguna. In Tamaguna, one doesn't think at all, hardly. Doesn't think I'm perfect, doesn't think, he's just like an animal. There's no thinking, there's no judgment of his own situation. Just lives from one heroin injection to the next. That's really at the bottom of Tamaguna. So the position of a Vaishnava is always to pray for mercy, taking the humble position. Srila Prabhupada himself clearly, an empowered acharya, great devotee, how great we can hardly see because of a, just like we can hardly see Krishna's greatness. We're so limited in our understanding, we can hardly begin to understand how great Krishna is. And similarly, Srila Prabhupada is such a great Vaishnava Acharya, we're so limited in our understanding, we can hardly begin to imagine how great he is. So we should always be subordinate, always realize we're dependent on the mercy coming down. As soon as we think, I can do something well by myself, we might be able to do it well, superficially. But if it doesn't please Krishna, we might be able to do so many things. We might be able to cook nicely, sing nicely, speak nicely, distribute so many books, so many things. But if by our attitude Krishna isn't pleased, then it's all external. So we have to always pray for the mercy. Prarthana kare sada Narottama Das. We find the Narottama Das, he, in this line, he expresses what is implicit in every line of every one of his songs. It's all, every utterance is simply praying for the mercy of his guru, the Vaishnavas, Krishna, a mood of always being dependent, always waiting for the mercy, like the chatak bird looking to the sky, when will the rain fall? Then I can, not going anywhere else. When the cloud sends the rain, then I'll drink some water. Water may be available elsewhere, but I have to take from the cloud. So waiting for the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, all the acharyas, all the Vaishnavas, waiting for the mercy of Krishna. That way we can get their mercy. We'll get their mercy. Otherwise we may get their mercy in another way. We may get the mercy of thinking that we are very advanced devotees, and others may also think like that. We should be very careful not to be over-intelligent, over-confident, and mistake our egoism for actual advancement in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada wrote to a disciple, regarding utilizing intelligence in devotional service, intelligence should be confirmed by the spiritual master. Therefore, we accept the spiritual master for guidance. You should not depend on your own intelligence. Don't depend on our own intelligence. Be guided. Be ready to take. We should take guidance. We have to use intelligence in devotional service. To be ready, to be guided. Don't think we can do everything on our own. Srila Prabhupada spoke, referring to his disciples, all these students, all these disciples, I do not accept anyone as my disciple, that you can do whatever you like. No, my first condition is that you must become sinless. At least you must try to become sinless. Because in the Bhagavad Gita, we understand Yishang Tantakatang Papang Jananang Punya Karmanam Tidvanva Mohanir Mukta Bhajante Mam. Without being sinless, one cannot make any advancement. So Srila Prabhupada, he didn't accept anyone unconditionally. We said the mercy of Krishna is causeless. But we have to accept that mercy in the form of instruction. Causeless mercy doesn't mean that we do nothing. We also, just like the rain may pour from the sky, causeless mercy from the sky, but we have to have a vessel to collect it. So we have to be, we have to make ourselves suitable for catching the mercy. The mercy of Krishna is everywhere. Anyone, anywhere can be blessed by that mercy, but one has to learn what is that mercy, how to accept it. One needs to be guided to do so. One has to become sinless to do so. Unless one is sinless, unless one is sincere, then he won't even recognize what that mercy is or why he needs it. Srila Prabhupada said, I can also become bold enough to chastise you, but you also, in whatever condition, you carry my order due to the basic principle of love. Our whole philosophy is love. We are just trying to learn how to love Krishna, that's all. So Arjuna could accept Krishna's chastisement. Srila Prabhupada and his godbrothers were very happy to accept their guru's chastisement because they understood it's on the basis of love. That doing it because, being chastised because he wants to correct me. Srila Prabhupada sometimes gave the example of in his householder life, he heard some shouting and crying from a child. There was a big commotion in the house next door. So the system to find out what's going on, you send your servant to ask the next door servant what's going on. You don't directly ask the house owner. So the news came back that one boy in that house was sick with typhoid, in which one has to, in typhoid, it's very dangerous to eat solid food, so one has to fast from solid foods. Parathas were being cooked. So this boy who was sick with typhoid, he asked his younger brother, he smuggled me in a paratha so I can eat it. He was barred from eating solid food. So the younger brother, he's accepted the order of his elder brother. When the mother found out and she was beating and chastising that young boy for just trying to please his elder brother. But did either of the brothers ever think that the mother, she doesn't like us? They were crying, but they could understand underlying it all. Of course, they didn't make any philosophical analysis of the situation, but they didn't think that now my mother doesn't like me. They understand she's very angry with me. But why is she angry? Because she desires the benefit of the boy who's sick, and it's very dangerous for him to eat such heavy food as paratha. So the basis of love, and then the devotees, disciples of Srila Prabhupada, they would accept that chastisement, understanding that Srila Prabhupada is their ever well-wisher. Srila Prabhupada wrote to a disciple, "This is the duty of the father or spiritual master to simply chastise. By this chastisement, the disciple can realize his mistakes and become strong and fixed up in devotional service." So we can pray. I should pray. We should all pray that May we be corrected. We're not all perfect. We require to be corrected. If we examine ourselves honestly, are we chanting Hare Krishna with full faith and love and attention? Do we study carefully, trying to understand? Are we cultivating an actual spirit of service to Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas? Or are we, in the name of devotional service, are we also nourishing our egoism and our anarthas? We can pray. It's a heavy prayer to make. Please remove all my anarthas. Choi bega domi, choi dosha shodhi, choi guna deho dasi. We become attached to our anarthas. That story is there, one early Back to Godhead magazine. Early means in the 1960s, there was an article by Srila Prabhupada that included an article by Hanuman Prasad Poda. He gave this story of two sides of the river. There's a strongly flowing river. On one side, everyone is very happy. On the other side, people, they have the habit of carrying bags on their backs full of heavy stones. So it's very difficult to do anything. And they're all weighed down by all these stones. But they have among themselves a sense of prestige that the people who carry more stones, they're considered more prestigious. So people try to carry more and more stones. But it's more and more trouble for them, more and more burdensome. So sometimes, wandering around in their unhappy existence, they come to the edge of the river and they may just lift their head a little and see to the other side people are living so happily. They don't carry stones. And the people on the other side may say, come and join us, we're very happy here. Oh, but how can I cross the river? No, you can cross. It's not so very deep. But you'll have to throw your stones. If you take the stones, then you won't be able to, the current will be too strong. It will wash you away. You have to throw away my stones? And then they'll waddle off as quickly as they can. Boy, what a terrible thing to suggest that I have to throw away my stones. So they can't, because they're attached to, they can't imagine life without these stones, these big rocks that they're carrying around. Although occasionally someone may look around left and right, no one's watching me, drop the stones and cross the river. A rare soul. So in the same way, we're carrying our material attachments. And even though we're aware that there is a life of bliss, free from material attachments, we're attached to the attachments, to what we think gives us happiness, prestige, what makes us ahankar, what makes me what I am, my designations, what makes I am this, I am that. We have to give that up and accept the designation of being the servant of the servant and go on and on and on as many times as you like. Servant, 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 servant of Krishna. So as long as we think we're doing well, we're in trouble. As long as we think, I have to strive more, I have to try, I have to become purified, then we can become pure. Otherwise, the tendency to become complacent, to think I'm doing very well, everything is very nice, very dangerous. So be prepared to accept the correction. One way or the other, the correction will come to us. If we're prepared to be corrected by Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas, then very quickly we can go back to Godhead. If we're not prepared for that, if we think everything I'm doing is very nice, just see, I'm doing so many things, how can anyone find any fault? Then we're actually deeply in trouble. Deeply in trouble. And if there is something that needs rectifying, and others point that out, we should be ready to accept that also. Of course, there may be a case where it's unfair, or the person who wants to rectify, they actually have their own misconception which they want to foist on us. So some discrimination is required also. But basically we should be open to being corrected. Always pray. Prarthana kare shada narottamadas. Pray for that mercy by which we can be on the straight path back to Godhead. Not to resist purification. I'm comfortable in the situation I'm in now. I'm chanting, doing my service. Mentally, I feel very comfortable. That's very dangerous. Then we don't want any more purification. I've reached this stage and I'm feeling quite happy like this. So we may resist purification. We don't want to go further. We think it's okay as I am. Anyway, sometimes I've heard people say, well, what's the minimum qualification to go back to Godhead? That is a strange question. A minimum. You know, can I get away with eating potato chips, Lay's potato crisp time to time? Can I still go back to Godhead? What about chocolate? Can I get away with that? But it's the wrong question. The minimum qualification is not to ask that question at all. Okay, Hare Krishna. What is the time? Time to stop. Isn't it? Yes, time for prasadam. Yeah. Any question about this? All right. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Bhagavad Gita as it is ki jai. Hare Krishna.